Luke's account of Jesus' passion and death is the only one that includes this conversation between those others that were crucified with him. One on his right and one on his left. All three of them were being crucified and put to death for treason. But those flanked next to Jesus are guilty of murder and insurrection, Luke tells us. What they were first century Israelite terrorists. They likely killed Roman citizens to put fear and flight to the Roman authorities. The word criminal here that Luke uses literally means evil doer. One of the evildoers repeats the mockery, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself," and then he adds, "and us." If the Messiah was the one to bring in the kingdom and deliver Israel from its Roman occupation, then it only makes sense that this person who was dying for Israel would demand this of Jesus. But the other evildoer, literally, the New Testament says the evildoer of a different kind. He speaks up. His hands, his feet are nailed to the cross too, but his tongue is free to be the evangelist he is immortalized to be. He says to the one mocking, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong," speaking of Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, reverence for God, respect, honor for Jesus, his person, his word. This is what prompts this evildoer of a different kind to speak the truth. It's what prompts him to recognize and admit that he is an evildoer, a sinner rightly condemned and crucified and put to death for his crimes. Just as Scripture says, the wages of sin is death. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to its own way. This evildoer of a different kind bears his soul and speaks the hard truth of his guilt. And he proclaims the innocence and righteousness of Jesus, the man who has done nothing wrong. I was thinking about this text all week. It's one of the reasons why it's one of my favorite passages, because it is one of the clearest passages on the grace of God. Just how radically free, unearned, and undeserved the love of God is in Jesus Christ and the gospel. Where else is it more clearly spelled out? And I believe this is the reason this passage is so powerful. God's providence isolates the controlled variables. God's providence isolates the controlled variables. Just like Luke, the physician that he is, who had to determine an illness by isolating controlled variables with treatments, patients, observation, was able to determine how to cure and to heal others. So we are able to see what cures the human soul. That is to say that just as Jesus and the evildoers were stripped of their clothing before they were crucified, So God strips away all sorts of reasons why he might forgive and why he might give eternal life to a condemned man. We presume that this evildoer was a circumcised Israelite who looked for the Messiah. But we're not told that. That can't be a reason. We don't know if this man was baptized by John or by Jesus or one of the disciples. It's not mentioned. He certainly was not baptized while hanging on the cross, professing his faith. He does not pray a prescribed prayer. He's not at a worship service or a revival. He's not prodded. He's not asked to make a decision about Jesus. Nor is he guilted or shamed into making a confession of his sinfulness. He cannot go to the temple to provide an offering and sacrifice. He cannot perform good deeds. His hands and his feet are nailed to a cross. But his ears hear, and his mouth speaks, and with his heart he believes. He likely heard Jesus say earlier to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." He certainly heard Jesus say to the crowds and those who crucified him, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Through the word of Christ and the Holy Spirit, God creates faith in the heart of this uncommon criminal. He knows that all his treason, murder, and wickedness are forgiven because Jesus forgives the mockery and the nailing of him to the cross. And so he prays to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He does not ask Jesus to merely recollect him or bring him into mind once a while when he is in his domain. He does not ask to be delivered from death on the cross like the other evildoer. He asks the king to show him favor by receiving him into his heavenly kingdom. He asks Jesus to save him, not from the cross, but from sin, death, and a wretched and cruel world. Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Not tomorrow, not on the third day, not in the age to come, today. When Jesus dies, he says, "I commend my spirit to you, O Lord." In that moment, Jesus goes to the Father. And when the evildoer dies later, Jesus will be there to receive him that very day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, Scripture says. When a sinner who trusts in Jesus dies, they do not go into soul sleep, Jesus' words tell us. They don't take a detour through purgatory. Like Enoch, like Elijah and Lazarus, they are swept up into heaven. Some by chariots of fire, some by angels, some are just taken up. The word Jesus chooses here, paradise, is an incredibly powerful word. It refers to the Garden of Eden. In Jesus' death, he takes away the curse of death and the fall of humanity. He reverses. He restores creation back to its original beauty and holiness and joy. With a celebrative word, Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And Jesus will be there to welcome the vilest sinner who believes. He will not remember their or our sins. He'll remember you, and he'll remember me. It was for us that he suffered and died, that we would not perish, but have eternal life. Who was the guilty? Who brought this upon thee? Alas, my treason, Jesus, hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee. I crucified thee. For me, King Jesus, was thine incarnation, thy mortal sorrows and thy life's oblation, thy death of anguish and thy bitter passion for my salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.